Our scripture reading for today comes from 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 1 through 10, which can be found on page 174 in the New Testament of your pew Bibles. It is necessary to boast. Nothing is to be gained by it, but I'll go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a person who in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. My apologies. I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such a one, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong. For the word of God is scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, open us up. Open our eyes to see and our ears to hear. Open our hearts to feel. And then, O God, open our hands to serve. In Jesus' name, amen. The Apostle Paul writes these letters to early Christian communities. And he says again and again, because of Christ crucified, losing is the new winning. Weak is the new strong. Failure is the new success. The way down is the new way up. Dying to the self is the new way to life abundant. There is a new way to be human because of Christ crucified. You see, death on a cross was this huge failure, this huge loss. Jesus, in the eyes of the world, was a loser God, because he ended up dying in the most public and humiliating way, but it was through losing that he won. He won not through the typical means, not through military force or might, but through sacrificial love. So he completely and totally flipped the system. There's a popular Christian song, maybe you're familiar with it. It says, "Our God is an awesome God." You know that one? Yes, and our God is a loser God. Okay, because, stay with me, he ended up dying in the most public and humiliating way. I hope you'll hear me on this. God's awesomeness comes in a way we don't expect. And frankly, we don't really want to accept. I mean, it's taken me years to shift my thinking on this, because our whole world is oriented, as it was during Paul's day, to define success as being right and perfect, and earning, and going above and beyond others, and gaining worthiness, and working hard to climb the ladder up and up. But the death and resurrection of Jesus redefined success. It totally redefined success. So that now it is in our vulnerability that we become powerful. It's in our weakness that we become strong. It's in our failing that we become successful. It is in our falling that we rise. I really wish this wasn't true, don't you? I mean, but then when I reflect on my life, and I invite you to reflect on yours, on the events that have most helped you to grow and has changed you for the better, what has brought you into a deeper relationship with God? When I think about it, the events that have most changed me are the ones in which I've been at the end of my rope. You know, when I've messed up, when I've felt pain and shame, when I've experienced despair and loss, those moments that have been the worst, those have been my best moments of surrender. You know, it's like, okay, help me. I can't do this without you. I can't do this without you. I need your help and your grace. Help me. You know, here's a personal revelation, and I've heard enough preacher type folks say this, so I think this is pretty typical. But every Sunday afternoon, I'll say around 3 or 4, every Sunday afternoon, I will start thinking about the day. I'll kind of look back at the day and the worship services and the sermon and the Sunday school hour and the conversations that I had. And I will just think, oh, I can't believe I said that. Or, oh, I should have said that, you know? And, oh, I really embarrassed myself there, or I failed to be a good pastor. You know, I really failed to be a good pastor. And then I'll just sort of take a deep breath, and I'll just go, oh, help me, Lord. Just help me. I need your grace. And I'll just sit and I'll just take a deep breath. And every time, you know, every time I just sort of feel this presence cover me. And I get this sense of, you know, it's okay. It's okay. You're okay. Let it go. You're covered. You know, you're covered. And then on Monday morning, I wake up, and the first thing I say is, you know, help me, God. Help me. I can't do this without you. The Apostle Paul, he said that he had a thorn in his side. So no one knows what that was exactly, and you can imagine all kinds of folks have all kinds of ideas about what that might be. Some think that he had a physical challenge, you know, that he had some sort of illness that made everything just a little harder for him. And some think maybe he struggled with like an addiction or some sort of stinking thinking, you know. And whatever it was, he just asked God to deliver him from it. You know, he's just like, take it away from me, God. He just wanted God to just like do like a quick fix of sorts and just make it better right now. But God didn't do that. God doesn't do that. No, God doesn't swoop in and take away Paul's problems. And God says to him, my grace is sufficient for you. Now, John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, he loved that line. My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient with you. He took down notes about it, his reflections, and he said this. He said, where there is the quickest sense of pain, we see grace. So I will glory in my weakness rather than in my revelation so that the strength of Christ may rest in me. What he is saying is, weak is the new strong. Weak is the new strong. What he's saying is the strength of Christ shows up right in the moment we need it the most. When we stop trying to do it all ourselves and realize we just can't do it all on our own. We sort of throw up our hands and say, help. Help. You know, when we become totally dependent on the grace of God to get us through, my grace is sufficient for you. Wesley pointed out the Greek meaning of the term sufficient. He says it means that grace covers us over like a tent. Grace covers us like a tent. You are covered. You are covered. Do you know that you are covered? And I don't know that we know that until we're at our most vulnerable moment. You know, when we finally realize we can't cover ourselves and we stop frantically trying to cover ourselves. The image that comes to mind for me, it's an image from author Rob Bell, and I'm leaning on his wisdom today, but he shares a story about walking through the woods, and he's carrying his son. His son was an infant at the time, and he was carrying him on his back in this pack through the woods, this little hike through the woods, and then suddenly out of nowhere comes a storm. And it just starts pouring and thundering down. And from his son's perspective, you know, this is a really scary moment. I mean, an incredibly vulnerable moment because all he can see is the rain. He can just feel the rain. But his father covers him. Let's watch.
It's interesting if you think about the storm from Trace's perspective. For Trace, the storm is his reality. He sees nothing else. The lightning and the thunder and the trees swaying and the raindrops and the water just dripping off him. It's all he knows. He sees no reality beyond this storm. What Trace doesn't realize is that as his dad, I would do anything to get him home.
Come down, come in here.
So at this point, Trace is shrieking at the top of his lungs in stereo right behind my head. And I stop and I kneel down and I take him out of the pack and I pull him close to my chest and I wrap my arms around him and I hold him so tightly up against my heart. And for the last mile of our walk, the entire time, I bend over and I whisper into his ear over and over again, "I love you, buddy. We're gonna make it. Dad knows the way home. We're gonna make it. I love you, buddy." And over and over and over again, through the storm, I carry him home, clutched tightly against my chest, whispering, "I love you, buddy. We're gonna make it."
When we are weak, when we have no way of fixing it or saving ourselves, when we're like an infant again and totally reliant on help, we are covered. We are covered. I mean, is that good news or what? God pulls us close and whispers to us and says, "I love you. We're going to make it. I love you. It's going to be okay." Over and over again until we're home. You are covered. Do you know that you are covered? I mean, maybe you don't believe you're covered. Maybe you feel like you've done something along the way and your coverage got dropped. No, you're still covered. So you messed up. So you think you aren't worthy of coverage, or maybe you've forgotten that this isn't a divine points game. This isn't about earning or achieving. I mean, the rest of the world is into that, but God is not into that. And we know that because of Christ crucified, because through him, success is redefined. Weak is the new strong. The way up is the way down. Paul has to remind people in Corinth about this because they're getting all caught up in the worthiness game. It's just so easy to do, isn't it? And Paul says to them, you know, you were the first to get the gospel message because you thought you were unworthy, because you were slaves and society told you that you were nothing and that you weren't enough, but you are worthy and you are good enough and you got it. You got that God is not interested in society's ranking of who is better than others. You got that you are covered, that God's grace is for you and is sufficient for you. You got that you are covered. And so the invitation, Paul says, the invitation is to stop trying to be worthy. Stop trying to win and compete and be the greatest, because that's not how God works. That's not how it is now. Weak is the new strong. Losers are the new winners. Failure is the new success. You know, there's this story in the Bible that Jesus tells about these two sons and their father. And one son leaves with his inheritance before his father is even dead, which is like bad enough, right? And then he goes and blows all the money. And meanwhile, his brother stays and takes care of the family business, and he's loyal and helpful. And when the son that blows it comes home, well, he expects his coverage to be dropped, you know? And his brother expects that too, but his father runs and embraces him and he says, "You're my son. I love you. It's going to be okay. You're covered. You've been covered the whole time." And then there's this other story that Jesus tells about a Pharisee, which is like a religious leader, and a tax collector who everybody looks down on those tax collectors, you know. And the Pharisee prays, "Oh, thank God I'm not like other people. Oh, thank God I'm not like robbers and evildoers and tax collectors." And then the tax collector prays, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I need your help." And Jesus says, the tax collector gets it. He gets it. He knows he needs grace. He gets it. He's covered. He's covered. Jesus says, those who humble themselves will be raised up. The way down is the way up. Weak is the new strong. Theologian Richard Rohr puts it this way. We don't come to God by doing it right. Please believe me on this. We come to God by doing it wrong. If we come to God by being perfect, no one is going to come to God. This absolutely levels the playing field. Our failures open our hearts of stone and move the rigid mind space toward understanding and patience. It is in doing it wrong, being rejected, and experiencing pain that we are led to total reliance upon God. So you've done wrong. You've been rejected. You've experienced pain. Let that open your heart to God's help. When you do, you'll discover that you're covered. You'll understand God's grace is sufficient for you. So you've lost your job. You feel rejected or like you aren't good enough for the job market. God's got you. You are covered. Pay attention. Pay attention. Listen and look around because God is saying to you, I love you. We're going to get through this. It's going to be okay. So you're struggling at home. You're struggling with your marriage or you're struggling with parenting. You don't know what to do. You've just tried so many things. You feel defeated. You're covered. Cry out for God's help and pay attention. God is saying to you, I love you. It's going to be okay. We're going to get through this. It's going to be okay. So the candidate or candidates that you were hoping to get elected didn't. So you're down and you're discouraged by the state of our world, and you don't know what to do next. God's grace is enough for you. You're covered. Pay attention. God is saying to you, I love you. We're going to get through this. It's going to be okay. There is this divine reality, this mystery, really, but it is so true that when you feel defeated, when you feel lost, when you feel weak and down and out, the divine shows up. Pay attention. Pay attention. Pay attention to the worst things because they are not the last things. That's the hope we have because of Christ crucified and risen. The worst things, they are not the last things because of Christ. They become springboards for change, change in ourselves, change in our world for the better. Paul says, God chooses the weak. Don't forget. Or as the Message paraphrase puts it, and I just love this, Paul says, isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose men and women that the culture overlooks and exploits and abuses, chose these nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebodies? So you who are not the brightest, I'm talking to you. You who are not the best, you who are not influential, you who do not have the best track record, you who have failed, you who have lost, you who have been hurt, you who have been shamed, you who have been broken, you who have wounds, you who are weak, may you know that you are enough and you are covered. So may you pay attention. The source of all power and strength is with you, guiding you, giving you what you need for no other reason than this. This grace is for you. And it is sufficient. So may it ever be. Amen.